Our first scripture reading for today will be found in Book of Mark, chapter 1. We'll be reading from chapters 29 through 39, and it's found in our Pew Bibles on page 867 and 68. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and immediately they told him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she served them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered together about the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him followed him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Our second scripture reading will be found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We'll be reading from verses 21 through 31, and that is found in our Pew Bibles on page 620. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and in its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives powers to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. This is the reading of God's word.
In South Carolina, there's a wonderful story that has been passed down from generation to generation in the African American community there. It has to do with St. John's Island, which is just off the coast of South Carolina. St. John's was a place where Africans who had been made slaves were forced to toil away hour after hour in the oppressive heat, picking cotton under the cruel and watchful eye of overseers. The story goes that there was a woman who had become so adept at picking cotton that she was able to do it with only one hand, leaving the other hand free to comfort her young son who accompanied her in the cotton fields. But one day the heat and the toil became so oppressive that the woman collapsed right in the middle of the field. Her young son tried everything to rouse her, but to no avail, she failed to respond. Suddenly, an elderly African man appeared who everyone called Prophet. The boy looked at the old man in earnest and then asked, "Is it time?" And the old man nodded his head and said, "Yes, it's time." And then he bent down and whispered in the woman's ear, "Kulaba, Kulaba, Kulaba," which was a West African name for God. And suddenly the woman came to, and standing straight up, she took her young son in her arms, and together they flew away. The overseers got word and came to see what was going on in the confusion. The old prophet went around saying to all the Africans, "Kulaba, Kulaba, Kulaba," and one by one they began to fly away. And when the overseers saw that everyone was flying off, they grabbed the old prophet and began to beat him and demanded that he make the people come back. But the old man replied, "I can't. The word of God is already in them, and because the word of God is already in them, it can't be taken away." And so the people fly. In the face of adversity, that is what we all need. We all need a word of comfort. We all need a word of hope. We all need a word from God that will help us to fly. A word from God that will help us to soar above the adversity of our lives, the pain in our lives, and find our way home to God's coming future. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, that's what the prophet Isaiah wants for the people of God. He wants them to be able to fly. He wants them to be able to fly from a world of hopelessness and despair to a world of healing and liberation and love. The prophet penned his poetic words over 2,500 years ago to a people who were very similar to the Africans on St. John's Island. They were people who had been exiled, people who had been torn from their homes, people who had been dispossessed, people who believed that maybe God had forgotten them and had forsaken them. And so in the midst of their adversity, they forgot about God. They forgot about God's power and grandeur. They forgot about God's love and care for them. They forgot that God was bigger than anything that they might experience. That's the way we all are sometimes in the midst of adversity. We fall prey to a kind of theological amnesia where we forget about all the ways that God has delivered us in the past, and we fall easily prey to our despair. But the prophet Isaiah wants to bring a word of hope to his people. He wants to bring the word of God. And so he asked the people, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Do you not know about the God that you worship? Do you not know that your God is not some puny little local deity who is constrained by space and time? No, God is the maker and creator of the whole world," he tells them. "God is the God who has the whole cosmos in the palm of his hand. God is the one who sits above the circle of the world and brings kings and princes to naught. God is bigger than anything that you might experience. Who can compare to God? Who is equal to God? No one." That's what the prophet wants the people to understand. that the God that they worship is a God who is the creator of the whole world, and no one and nothing is equal to God. But the prophet also wants the people to understand that the same God who sits above the circle of the earth is also the same God who comes near to them. It is the same God who loves them and cares for them. And if they will trust in God, if they will have faith in God, if they will wait on God, God will not forsake them, but God will renew their strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will fly. They will fly because that is what God wants for all of us. God wants us to fly. The people, of course, would have had a ready answer to Isaiah's questions about God. When Isaiah asked them who was equal to God, they would have readily said, well, maybe, you know, we are here in captivity, we are here in exile, we are here in Babylon. Maybe the Babylonians are equal to God. Maybe the Babylonians can compare to God. Maybe the God that we worship is not quite as strong as the Babylonian gods, because after all, this is where we're at, deep into captivity in Babylon. But the prophet reminds them that if they only wait, if they only wait on God, if they only have faith in God deep in the bowels of Babylon, that they will see that God is the God that has the whole world in God's hands, and that God will bring them home. God will help them to fly. That message, of course, was not just for God's people 2,500 years ago, but it's also a message for us today. It's a message for us in the midst of our current circumstances. No matter what you might be experiencing this morning, no matter what you might be going through, no matter what concerns and worries might weigh you down, the fact of the matter is that God is still God. God is still in control. God is still the God who has all of our lives in the hollow of God's hands. There is nothing that is too big or too difficult for God. There's no circumstance that is too big for God. There's no sickness that is too big for God. There's no hospital that is too big for God, no jail that is too big, no substance abuse that is too big for God. God is bigger than all that we confront. And the prophet says, do you not know that? Have you not heard that? Do you not know this morning that God is bigger than all that we confront? Perhaps you're saying to yourself, of course we know that. That's why we are here this morning in this place. We are here because we have heard that over and over again. We have heard that all of our lives. We know that God is great. We know that God is the God of all creation. We know that God is the one who created the stars and everything in the cosmos. And not only that, but we know that God is a God who loves us and cares about us. We know all of that. But if we're honest with ourselves, we still have questions. Questions that sometimes test our faith. We often ask, if God is all powerful, if God is indeed the God who has created everything, if God is indeed the God that has everything in God's hands, and if God is all loving and all caring, then why is there so much pain and suffering in our world? Why is there war and cruelty? Why is there prejudice and racism and injustice? Why is there cancer and Ebola? Why are there children who suffer? Why is there people with depression? Why is it that my life sometimes seems like it's out of control? Where is God in the midst of all of this? Where is God in the midst of the world in which we live? Where is this God in whom no one is equal and no one can compare? The question, of course, is a classic question. It's one that people have dealt with down through the ages. God's power and God's goodness. And of course, we are sometimes at a loss to grapple with the evil that we see in the world all around us. I was listening the other day to a program where a man was being interviewed, a celebrity in Britain, and the interviewer asked him if he believed in God, and suddenly he broke out into a tirade and said, if there is a God and God is good and God is supposed to be just, then why does God allow for things in our world like the suffering of children? And why is it that God allows for brutality and bloodshed in our world? It's a good question. The fact of the matter is that we sometimes have trouble putting our faith and trust in God. We know that no one can compare to God. We know that intellectually. We know that no one is equal with God. But when we start really thinking about it, we often do not live that way. Oftentimes, we're not quite sure whether God is a God that can liberate our world. We're not quite sure that God is bigger than some of the things that we confront. In fact, oftentimes we believe that other things are equal to God in terms of alleviating the world of some of the things that concern us, like security. Sometimes we believe that our nation is equal to God and can compare to God. We believe that our nation is number one. Our nation is what can bring us security. Sometimes we believe our education is what can bring us security, or our jobs is what can bring us security. We have all kinds of things that we sometimes believe is comparable to God and equal to God, because we don't believe in our hearts of hearts that maybe God can arrest the evil in our world and in our lives. And yet the Bible reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. That we human beings are like grasshoppers trying to fathom and comprehend the ways of God. We can't even begin to understand the ways of God. Yes, God is all powerful. Yes, God is all-loving, but God's power is not the kind of power that we often think about. God's power is not the way that we would use power. God's sovereign power in the world is the sovereign power of God's love. That's the way that God has chosen to deal with evil in the world. It is the sovereign power of love in which nothing else can stand up to. God's sovereign power is the sovereign power of God's love that is the most powerful thing in the world. And God reminds us that that is the way that God deals with evil in the world. It is through the life and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that God chooses to deal with evil. It's not the way I would do it. It's not the way that many of us would do it. It's not the way that our political leaders would do it. We don't believe that that's the way that evil can be arrested. We believe that one of the ways that you arrest evil is by dropping bombs on it. We believe that one of the ways that we deal with evil is by forcefully restraining it with equal violence. But we are reminded that God has dealt with evil in the world through the self-giving love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God reminds us, too, that we are to have faith in Him. In the midst of a world around us with so much suffering and pain, we are to have faith in God and trust in God and to wait on God, because God wants nothing more for us that we will one day be able to fly. That's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to do. In everything that Jesus did, He came to help people to fly. He came to help people to fly from sickness to wholeness. He came to help people to fly from captivity to liberation. He came to help people to fly from death to life. God wants us to fly. And He wants us, those of us who are His people, to help others to know how to fly. We are called this morning to be a church who brings our troubled world a word of God. We are called to bring those in our communities and in our world a word of God, that God wants them and wants all of us to be able to fly. We are reminded this morning that we are God's people. We are reminded this morning that no one is equal to God, that no one can even begin to compare to the love and power of God, the power of God's love. But you and I have been shaped and formed in that love. We've been shaped and formed in the power of God's love. And because of that, we are called to go out and to remind people that God wants to help us to find our way home. God wants to help us, all of us, to find our strength, to have those wings that will mount up like eagles, and for us to be able to fly. As we continue in the season of Epiphany, we remind ourselves of that stunning good news, that even though the world around us is one that is filled with pain and suffering, that even though the news brings us daily reports of atrocities and barbarisms, that even though we live in a world where indifference and hatred seems all overwhelming, the prophet wants us to know, have you not known? Have you not heard? Do you not believe that God is still in control? Do you not believe that this world still belongs to God? Do you not believe that God is still reconciling this world to God's self? Do you not believe that and know that? And do you not know that God still loves you and cares for you and wants to rescue you? Do you not believe that God still wants to give you wings so that you can begin to be the people that God has called each and every one of us to be? People who know how to fly. To the glory of God, amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we ask that you help us to find the faith and trust to put our lives in your hands. Help us to believe that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you are already arresting the forces and powers of death and evil in our world. Help us to wait on you so that you might give us the strength to mount wings of eagles, so that through the power of your love for each and every one of us, that you might help us to be able to fly into your glorious future. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.